welcome to the Waste Not What Not podcast. I'm Philippa Ross, human ecologist, enthusiologist, author and energy healer, bringing you inspirational interviews, news and tips to rebuild the relationship between people and the planet, the way nature intended, by revitalising our natural resources, minimising waste and maximising human potential. I trust you'll discover seeds of hope for a vibrant future so you can cultivate and transform them to suit your own lifestyle, in order for us to collectively create a world where reverence for the diversity of all life is honoured. You'll find all the show notes in the description and lots more about me and my work at philippaross.com. And don't forget, if you like what you hear, be sure to share far and wide. Hello, Wastebusters. Welcome to the March episode of the Waste Not Want Not podcast, intentionally published today, March the 8th, to celebrate International Women's Day. My guest, Karen Tuohy-Boyes, epitomises the ethos behind the mission of the now global event, having created a business that values and celebrates our differences with invaluable guidance on ways to develop opportunities that shape a better future for everyone. But before we dive into the juicy interview, I wanted to give you an insight into how International Women's Day has evolved since 1909, when Clara Zetkin, then age 52 and leader of the Women's Office for the Social Democratic Party in Germany, initiated the movement. She dreamed of a global platform to press for women's demands, women's suffrage being the most important at that time. The movement took a long time to gain traction. The UN made it an official holiday in 1977, but it wasn't until 1995, 62 years after her death, when 189 governments from around the world came together and established the Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action, agreeing on critical areas for empowering women and creating a roadmap that called for a world where each woman and girl could exercise her choices, such as participating in politics, getting an education, having an income, and living in societies free from violence and discrimination. Today, International Women's Day's mission is to shine a spotlight on activity, uplifting and inspiring women to pursue goals without bias or barrier, promoting a sense of self-worth, an ability to determine one's own choices, and a right to influence change, take control of their lives, make their own choices, and succeed in their chosen pursuits. Clara's heartfelt desire provides a profound message for me, and that is to never give up hope, to follow your heart and sow seeds for the change you want to see in the world. One of today's iconic women who is doing just that is Jane Goodall, who incidentally turns 90 next month. She's actually coming to New Zealand on the 10th of June with her Reasons for Hope tour. There's a link in the show notes for tickets. I'm keeping all my appendages crossed. She says yes to an interview request I've sent her. Two other extraordinary, courageous women who shine a light on what's possible when you step into your authenticity was my recent guest, 103-year-old Dr. Gladys McGarry, who was a pioneer in the holistic medicine field, and the late fashion designer Iris Apfel, who died on the 1st of March this year, also 103 years of age. Iris left a legacy that epitomises the expression to live large. She was known for her flamboyant style, outspoken personality and oversized eyeglasses. She captured the 50 lessons life taught her in a column she once wrote, the essence of which I put in the show notes. While my focus is on women today, the movement is actually about people who advocate for equality and honour differences. So it would be remiss of me if I didn't mention the late Sir Ken Robinson, who actually would have celebrated his 74th birthday on the 4th of March. He left an indelible mark on the hearts and minds of the world. His humour and groundbreaking TED Talk, Do Schools Kill Creativity?, published 17 years ago, about the power of personalised creative education, continues to inspire educators, students and creative minds across the globe. His vision is mirrored by my effervescent guest, educational alchemist Karen Tuohy-Boyes, a woman who consciously created Spectrum Education 30 years ago to ignite learning, inspire growth and instill innovation. Karen dreams and strives to create a world of authenticity where people have freedom of choice and live in true alignment with their purpose. Enjoy the buoyant conversation with juicy tips and protocols to spice up your life. It gives me great delight today to introduce my guest, who is Karen Tuohy-Boyes, because not only does she embody my theme for the year, which is Evolve, but also the theme for International Women's Day, which is actually to inspire inclusion. So welcome, Karen. It's lovely to have you with me.
Oh, I'm excited to be with you, Philippa.
Now, I just want to expand on International Women's Day theme because it talks about being free of bias, stereotypes, and discrimination. It honours diversity, equity, I can't say the blooming word, equitable, and being inclusive, and values people's differences and celebrates it. I'm assuming that really speaks to the core of everything that you do.
Absolutely. It's about being the best we can be and encompassing and including everybody.
You're actually in your 30th year in September with Spectrum Education, and that is really about getting amazing results for students, teachers, and parents. What on earth inspired you to start this 30 years ago?
Well, I think I was about three.
You're no. Deluded like me. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, deluded. Yeah. I can't believe it's nearly 30 years. I was a teacher. I've been blessed to know on this planet that my job here was to teach. And so I've always known that. There was nothing that, no one that inspired me. I just knew in my soul that that was my purpose. So I've been blessed to know that. I wanted to teach. So I went to teachers' college straight from school. I went to university and then I started teaching. Very quickly in my teaching, though, I realized that I had been taught what to teach, but not how to teach. So I didn't understand how children learned. I also noticed that children were coming into the school system at the age of five with that light in their eyes, that excitement, that zest for learning, you know, that curiosity. And I started to see it die. And it started to die when they were six, seven, 8 years old. And I'm like, what are we actually doing that's killing the very thing we want, which is the love of learning? So I actually left, nearly 30 years ago to pursue a career in finding out how do children learn and then teaching teachers about that. Then I quickly moved into teaching students how they learn and how to study and pass exams. And then I realized the parents need to know this as well. We've added another segment to that, and that's really looking at leadership because it actually starts from the top and goes down. And so, yes, I have been blessed to, prior to the pandemic, working in 22 different countries, keynote speaking, working in schools as a teacher in residence, working with teachers very closely, working with their students. And since the pandemic started, I have now worked in 51 countries from the joy of my own home, wearing my slippers. I am wearing my slippers as we talk.
Oh, how funny. It's lovely you're including everybody in this because it is important. I know from my own microscopic experience of being a teacher aide within a school how important it is because I wore a number of hats. I was on the board. I was a member of staff and a parent. I can remember the parents coming to school and asking the teachers basically what the kids have learned and how they're doing, waiting for evidence in books of what they've done, as opposed to having an understanding of their child and the community that they're in. Because I was in a class of 11 students, five of whom had special needs, and only one was actually diagnosed with it. And the teacher, she was amazing because she was so inclusive of everybody's needs. Because they were so diverse and she would tell stories and have jokes and hide behind the whiteboard and all sorts of funny things. But they learned so much. And I can remember this group went to a national Lego competition and they won because of their team. And the boy with autism, he had to pick up the car and put it at the start of this and then pick it up at the end. And that inclusivity was so, so pertinent.
I just love the way that you've included parents in this to give them an insight into perhaps what to expect of their child and how to support and nurture them. Has that come out a lot?
Absolutely. I wrote a book 2020 called Roots and Wings, and that's my parenting book. It took me a long time to write that book. I think I had to wait for my own children to leave school and go through the whole journey myself. But that book is about how do we as parents really understand our children and give them the roots so that they know where they're from, they know who they are, and then give them wings to fly. And for a while, Philippa, I was a total fraud, because the book is really about how to get your kids to leave home, how to encourage them and let them free, right, because they're not ours to keep. Yet for, I was a fraud for a while because both of my children were still living at home. But I've successfully navigated one leaving. I've still got one more. They're 21 and 24, and the 24-year-old isn't ready to go yet, but he is prepared to go. He's just not wanting to go. Like, he knows what to do. But yes, I think that parenting part is really important. And I also think, for me, part of my wish is that teachers really understand as well that they make every other profession possible. That what we do in schools is such a big thing. And we are the center of the community in a school, because it used to be the church, but it's no longer the church. The school is the center of the community, and that we need to be inclusive and bring everybody into that and make sure that we are treating our clientele and our people like we are preparing the future.
Absolutely, because it's all very well learning from a book, which nowadays so many books and things are out of date, but it's actually being able to tap into the gifts and give them the foundation skills and those roots that you're talking about, a safe place to explore and discover what failure is, and being able to be resilient, and all those skills that actually come out. I know myself, my greatest blessing is having children, because by God, they teach you, particularly boys and teenagers, but because they say it as it is. But they've been my greatest teachers. They really have. And there's no bullshitting. You can't get away from it. And I think not only so far as education's concerned, but parents need to recognize what it is that they are holding on to themselves that actually can impede a child as well. So it's such a huge thing that you're doing here. Although it's centered on education, it's so broad, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yes. When I transform education globally, I'll transform the world.
Awesome. I love it. I love your vision. When you were talking about the wings, it reminded me of Carlyle Gibran. One of his poems was about giving children wings. They're not my children. I love that poem. It's beautiful.
In my book. Yes.
Oh, cool. Yes. Great minds think alike.
Absolutely.
You must have seen, because you were talking about COVID and how you've had to adapt, you talked about the community of school. How are we people, the community, the teachers, students and parents, coping with the, perhaps the lack of community that was going on? Is it now an online one? Because there's nothing like in person. And how are you helping that shift to move away, because so much is at home now?
I don't know. I think there's pockets of greatness around the place, and I think there's pockets that are still divided. So I think it's an interesting question. When we've got pockets where they are doing really well, I think that's because there's been great leadership and great visionaries at the top who are able to pull everybody together and be that inclusive person. And I think where it's not happening is because there hasn't been the communication and the vulnerability to have the real conversations. It's all a healing process.
There's a lot of talk out there about a lot of these systems breaking down and things, and the education system being one. Do you see it changing, having to change, or and how do you think it's going to evolve?
It definitely has to change and evolve. It definitely is not fit for purpose. We are still putting children on a bell curve, which isn't even a real thing, and saying this is what normal is. There is no normal. We are still working to a curriculum that was really useful in the 1970s and 1980s in many schools, and preparing children for that world instead of preparing them for the future. We know, for instance, that 40% of the five-year-olds in our schools are going to be self-employed to have any form of income. Now, schools were set up to create employees. You think about this.
Yes.
Turn up on time, do as you're told, don't rock the boat, work to a certain standard, and clock out at the end of the day. Now, that is an employee mindset, and there's nothing wrong with being an employee. However, 40% of our five-year-olds are going to need to be self-employed. It's a very different mindset. No one knows if you turn up to the work. No one knows if you do the work. You still have to work at a high standard, but you're not only doing the work, you have to get the work, you have to invoice the work, you have to do everything when you are self-employed. You have to be a learner when you are self-employed because there's always new things to learn. And so it's not just about being able to do the job anymore. It's about being multi-skilled, about being future-focused, and about being able to have that creativity and curiosity to be able to keep being a learner.
Absolutely. And that leads into one of your loves, which is personal mastery. And I guess within that, it really speaks to that for me. And so what does it mean? Because, I mean, I've written the word self-discipline down here, and I balk at the word discipline, and it's the essence of my own work. When you know yourself and you follow your curiosity, it expands your mind and you get creative about things and can think outside the confines of what the school system was set up to be.
Absolutely. I have come to the conclusion in my 55 years of being on this planet, I have come to the conclusion that it's all about personal mastery. And that's what we need to be working on. When we understand ourselves, as you said, when we know who we are, when we are clear on what our values are and what we stand for and what we want, then it's much easier to live an incredible life and an inspiring life to be able to make that difference. So, Philippa, I know that we've talked previously, but for me, I want to share with you how that manifests. So what that means is that I put myself as number one in my life. And this is really important for women particularly, because often as women, we are number 27 or 103. And we put everybody else's needs in front of ours. And I love that idea. We talk about, you know, the cup being half full or half empty and not being able to fill your cup. But I think it's not just about being able to fill the cup. I think it's about having the cup full and giving everybody else the overflow. So the cup never, ever empties. So what do you do to keep yourself absolutely full? And then you've got so much more you can give everybody else and you don't become depleted. Philippa, I'm wondering if the people listening, do you know about the burnt chop syndrome?
In the recess of my mind, but please share it.
Okay, so the burnt chop syndrome is this. The mother, tends to be the mother, cooks dinner, and let's say there are five people at the dinner. Say you've got three children and a husband and wife. Could be anyone, okay? But you've got five plates out there, you've cooked five chops, and one of the chops is slightly burned. Who do you give the chop to, Philippa?
Yourself, obviously. Yeah.
Give it to yourself because it's like, oh, it saves any hassle and it's just easier. But here's the thing. You did all the work. You might remember the story, the little red hen. The little red hen kept asking people for help and nobody helped. And so the little red hen thought she could eat the bread all herself. And then everybody wanted the bread. And she's like, but I did the work. See, you've done all the work. Here's what I do, and this is inspired by Lisa O'Neill. I look at the five plates and I go, which person don't I like the most today? Now, I know you don't tell them this, but you don't, you don't always like your family every single day, right? And so I go, this child, has annoyed me today. I'm going to give them the burnt chop. And I get the best one. And so when at dinner, the person with the burnt chop goes, how come I got the burnt chop? I just go, oh, did you? Oh, well. But slowly they start to notice that I've got the best one. And they go, how come you got the best one? And I just say, like the little red hen, I did all the work. And so they start cottoning on and they start going, if I help do the work, can I get the best one? I'm like, absolutely. If you want the best one, you come and help. So here it is, putting yourself first, not being a victim of the burnt chop syndrome and giving yourself the best. So it's me first. This is the order in my life. My husband is number two in my life. And I see so many women, particularly in these middle years that I'm in, who, when their children do leave home, they suddenly look and go, who is that partner with me? Who is this person I live with? Because they haven't spent a lot of time connecting because they've been so busy giving to everybody else. And the poor partner hasn't had any love and attention or enough love and attention. So my number two priority is my relationship with my husband. So I spend a lot of time connecting with him on a daily basis, doing things we love together, chatting, having dinner together every single night. So we do a lot of things to make sure that relationship is very, very strong. This doesn't mean we haven't had hard times. We have had very hard times. I've actually packed my bags twice ready to leave because I just couldn't do it anymore. And on that first time, he said to me, let's just take it one day at a time. So I stayed and we did. At the end of each day, I chose, am I going to go or am I going to stay? And it caused us to have those conversations. It caused us to be able to really get to know each other well. And every single day now, I still choose. I choose him in my relationship. Now, that's not to say if your relationship really is broken and it's not working, you know, you've got to look after yourself first. However, I do want to share, and this might be an overshare, Philippa, but I do want to share our magic secret. Are you ready?
Please do.
You ready for people listening? Every single night, and we've been doing this for about 12, 15 years, every single night before we go to bed, we passionately kiss. And it has to be for 20 seconds or more.
Wow.
A long time. Now, when we first started doing this, it was like, do I have to? Women often say to me, if I passionately kiss him, then I'll have to, you know, it's going to lead on to something else. Yes. Guess what? Sometimes it does. But sometimes it's okay to say no, not tonight, right? I have learned something so incredible. You cannot passionately kiss somebody and be thinking about the tax return at the same time. You cannot be passionately kissing somebody and thinking about the list of jobs for tomorrow. You cannot passionately kiss somebody when you're cross and angry with them. So what it's taught me to do is to be able to be in the present. It's taught me to be able to put aside those things. And if I'm cross and angry, we have to deal with it first. So we never go cross and angry because you can't passionately kiss when you're cross and angry. That's my overshare.
That's awesome. The thing that struck me was about it helps to dissolve and resolve things because you can't be happy and sad at the same time. So even if you don't feel the inclination, it's like a hug. You actually melt into it. You know, you could work your way up with a hug. And if you're having this conversation where you have this pact to do it, then your partner knows it's not a cue to have your way. It's a consent on both sides. And so it's a beautiful thing, you know, to come together. It's about being honest, raw and real about your feelings and not taking it personally. And as you say, day by day, you can make those choices. And if you know that in the back of your heart and your partner does, not to assume, because I think that's what happens. People assume the other person is going to be there and we get taken for granted. And that's when we feel adds to the lack of, we feel depleted. Hey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So me first, my husband second, my children third. Often we put our children first. but they are going to leave home. And I know for some parents, we wrap our entire identity about being a parent, being a mother, being a father. Actually, that's not just who you are. And so my children come third, and I spend a lot of quality time with my children. I spend a lot of, you know, making sure those relationships are great. But they are number three in my life. And number four is my job. Now, people who know me will tell you that I work extremely long hours and extremely hard on my job, and I do. But it's number four priority in my life.
So how do you work effectively in building a business that has lasted 30 years and having accomplished great things, a Speaker of the Year on a number of occasions and Global Evolutionary Woman of the Year in 2022? How on earth do you manage to pack it all in?
People ask me that. I actually liken myself to the tortoise in The Tortoise and the Hare. I'm a plodder. I'm not racing to get things done. I just plod very, very slowly. You know, when you say you've written 13 books in 30 years, that's not even a book a year, right? So I just do things and I plod along and I find something that inspires me. Actually, here's the truth, Philippa. Things that I can already do don't inspire me. I'm looking for things I can't do. So a couple of years ago, I saw a speaker at a summit who had a colouring in book, and I went, oh, I want a colouring in book. So I just go out exploring, how do you make a colouring in book? And I made a colouring in book. And then I was thinking, oh, this Christmas, I'm like, oh, everyone asks me for my recipes. Do you know what? I've never written a recipe book. I'm going to write a recipe book. So while everyone else is sunning themselves at Christmas, I wrote a recipe book. I made all the recipes. Took the photos. I had so much fun and I made a recipe book. I don't need to make another recipe book because I've done it. I know how to do it now. I might update it and add more. Who knows? Because I've come up with some new recipes since and I'm like, oh, that'd be good. Oh, that would be good. But I might make a winter version at some point because I haven't done that. I get excited about new things. My number one value is love of learning. And so I have to be learning as I'm going and finding new things to do. I don't know that I'm any different to anybody else. I just plod. I do have many balls in the air. I do have many projects. But here's the other truth. I have an incredible team around me. I have people who come into my office who take off a lot of the load from me and share a lot of that work. I have VAs, virtual assistants in the Philippines who do work for me. So I'm not doing it all anymore. I used to, but I'm not doing it all anymore.
So what's your tip? Because women have a tendency to take it all on for themselves. And, you know, I can put my hand up for this one. Mrs. Independent, I can do it. I don't need anybody. And, you know, trying to prove yourself to a certain extent. But I actually enjoy doing a lot of it and I love learning and doing stuff. So it's flipping hard to let go and allow someone else to do it, isn't it? How did you manage that one? Just because it was overload.
Sometimes you get to the point where you just can't do it and you need some help.
Yeah.
Other times I still do the stuff I love. So the stuff I really love, I keep that. So think about the three things that you really love in your business or in your life and still keep doing those. And I'm very good at putting a system in place. So once I can do something, I put a system and go step one, step two, step three, step four, and then I can give it to someone and say, just follow the system.
And I love you. I'm not a system person. It leaves me cold.
But once you can do it, you can document, even if you do a little video, it doesn't have to be like a manual. I often do little videos for my virtual assistants, just going, here's the job, here's how you do it. And so it becomes what I call plug and play. I show them one and they'll do the other 75. And so I don't have to do it.
Awesome. I love it. I think a lot of people try to make up for what they can't do because they think they're less than because they can't do everything. Where in fact, it's about recognizing everybody has different strengths. And when you've got that team around you, it actually expands who you are because you are standing in your genius and doing what keeps you alive, really, isn't it? It's that spark that keeps you going. Fantastic.
Yes. And you don't have to start. I often hear people go, oh, I can't afford someone. But it's like, what if you just have someone 4 hours a week? What if someone just comes in one morning? Or what if you just have someone who you can do a trade with for something? I had a woman who came and worked for me once because she wanted to read the books on my bookshelf. And so she didn't want to be paid. She just said, I just want to hang around with you and read your books on your bookshelf. And I'm like, right, well, here's a few hours you can do. I've had another woman who was going back into the workforce and needed to upskill on a computer. And so she said, can I come and work for you? And I will do it for free as long as I can do my courses that I need to do to upskill myself on your computer, because she didn't have a computer at home. And so what kind of bartering can you do if you thinking you can't afford that? And often sometimes it's also taking a risk. I know that last year I actually employed someone to do a whole lot of marketing for me. And it was a bit of a responsible risk I was taking. But actually, because someone was focusing on it and because someone was getting it done in time, the money just started to flow. It was wonderful. I had enough to pay her and, you know, make a profit at the same time. So what is it that you can let go of, and what can you systematize, and what can you keep hold of that you absolutely love?
Absolutely. My central theme is around balls, because it's a double entendre, so to speak, because it's about quantum physics and balls of energy, but it's also about all the bollocks and things, the conditions that we have. But juggling those balls, I don't know if you've come, I'll send you the link and I'll put it in the notes for the listeners. Chris Bliss did this juggling to music and the tempo of the music and the speed that he did it. And I just thought, wouldn't it be, because there's a rhythm to life and we all have our own rhythm, wouldn't it be amazing if we could juggle life in the same dexterous way? But we also have to learn to put down those balls and not juggle with too many, put down the ones that are weighing us down so that we can manage what we do and make things.
And that's one of my goals this year. My word this year is more. And I realized to have more, I have to let go of things. And so my goal is to sell a tiny part of my business this year and let go of that and let someone else. I've been doing that part for 16 years. And that is our magazine that's been going out for over 16 years. And I don't need to do that anymore. I'd love someone else to pick it up and put some new energy behind it and some new zest and get it out there again. It's still out there, but it just needs someone else who's got an extra passion, because it's, I know I can do it. So it's just, it ticks along, it makes money, it's great, but I need to clear that space. So when you talk about quantum physics, you know, when you clear that space and you create a vacuum, then something has to fill it. So, and I need to be clear on what it is I want to fill it. So otherwise, just anything will fill it. So I need to let that go so I can have more of what I really want.
Yeah, because if you haven't got that space, it actually works. So, and also, you know, it's about that new energy expands things. So talking of magazines and books and things, is there a book or a person that has influenced you over the years?
There are hundreds, Philippa. I knew you were going to ask me this question and I went, I don't know, I stand on the shoulders of giants. If there was a book that came to mind this morning when I was contemplating this, it would be The Alchemist. And I'm still trying to understand that book. But it has been very influential in my life and I've read it several times. If there was
called Paleo, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. And if there was a person or people, it would be Art Costa and Benna Kallick. And they are the founders of the Habits of Mind or the Intelligent Behaviors, which I teach and I embody, I guess I have embodied. I've worked with them for over 20 years now and really being able to, what do you do when you're stuck? What do you do when you don't know what to do? So they are things like persisting, managing yourself. They are things like being able to think flexibly, think about your thinking, being able to work together. There are 16 of them. And that body of work that they have put out into the world, and I've had the pleasure of working alongside them for 20 years, has really influenced who I am and what I do.
Wow. Again, there must be gazillions. Is there a quote that inspires you to keep going or sparked it all off for you?
Well, I have them all over the place, but probably the one that I've been inspired by recently is Rumi's quote, which says, "Yesterday I was so clever I wanted to change the world. Today I'm so wise I'm changing myself."
Well, that speaks volumes. Yeah, because the most popular quote that people in the last 2 years of the podcast have been, "Be the change you want to see." We have to take it on ourselves, because I know for myself, you see things and problems and you want to change the world, but you actually have to embody it. And this is why I'm so thrilled that you're my guest today, because you do embody everything. You walk the talk, which is scrumptious. But well, I'm sure there are days when you have shit days and you're in a funk, because you're human like the rest of us. What do you do? How do you get yourself out of that?
Often I wallow in it a little too long. I dance, I exercise, I go out and get some sunshine, I change the environment. I've been known on those days I have to get the GST done in the middle of winter. It's cold and it's yucky. I've taken the GST in my car and I've driven down to the river and I found a sunny spot at the river and I've sat in the car and I've done it in the car.
Wow.
You know, I just find a different place to do it, another way to do that. I have a joy list that I keep handy, so that anytime I'm feeling like I'm not being my best, I'm like, what can I do out of my joy list? And sometimes
and so how many things are on your joy list?
Oh, probably 50.
Cool. And you keep adding to it and ticking it off?
Absolutely. Things like pineapple brings me joy. I eat pineapple every single day. And I learned this from another podcaster a couple of years ago. Did you know a pineapple tree takes, maybe it's a bush, I don't know, a pineapple bush takes a year to 18 months to grow a pineapple. And each pineapple bush only grows one pineapple at a time.
Whoa.
So every time I eat a pineapple, not only do I love the taste of pineapple, I'm like, some pineapple bush spent 18 months growing this for me. So I savor it. And I get so much joy out of that. It's not just like apple trees and these million of them, right? It's like 18 months. That's a long time.
Wow. Again, I think it's all about savoring it and not saving it for a special occasion, but savoring everything in life and appreciating how things come about.
Yes.
Talking of which, I know you don't want to change the world, but if I was your fairy godmother, is there one wish I could grant you that would help you?
Well, I do want to change the world. And the wish would be that everybody loved learning. I think learning is a superpower. I think it is the ability to have the sustainable advantage in the future. So if you had a magic wand, I would ask that everybody loved learning and knew how to learn. Imagine if you can learn, you can do anything.
Yeah. And it opens your mind when you know how. Okay, you have that wish, definitely.
Yay!
Great, it's fun. Is there any final words that you would like to impart with the audience?
Oh, final words. Be you. Everyone else is taken. Yeah. I think that's a quote from someone. Just do it your way. Really get out of your own way sometimes. I grew up with a dad who cared what everyone else thought. He used to open the curtains every night before he went to bed so that no one knew what time we got up. He cared big time and used to say to me, "Karen, never care what other people think." And the message he gave and the message I saw was completely different. And I grew up with that message screwed up in my head, caring big time. And it's taken a lot of inner work, that personal mastery, to really not care what other people think of me. And it rises its head every now and then, because again, I'm human. But work on those parts of you that need the work, and it's hard and it's difficult and it's worth it. And so here's my tip around this as we finish, Philippa. Do one thing a month. Just one, change one thing a month. So this month, I got into a bit of a bad habit of picking up my phone first thing in the morning and getting distracted by it. So this month, no phones until I've been through my morning protocol. Last month, I decided because I get up at 5 and I don't necessarily have my breakfast until 8:30, I was going to get up and clean my teeth first thing. It's a tiny little thing, but I tell you what, that fresh mouth is so much better first thing in the morning. You probably do this, but I had never done it. So I just change one thing a month and I work on that for the month. And then the next month I change another thing. In a year, that's 12 things you've changed. In 5 years, that's 60 things that you have changed about yourself. And it is an incredible thing to master yourself in that way.
Brilliant. And it's all about conscious awareness and being congruent and drawing everything in alignment. And like I say, you do walk your talk. You are who you say you are. Thank you so much for your invaluable contribution to the world and for being you.
Thank you. And thank you, Philippa, for having me as a guest. And thank you for showing up in the world the way you do, because you also make a difference.
Thank you. All the best. Take care.
What a rich conversation, packed with powerful protocols for personal mastery. And we didn't even talk about what was involved in her winning the prestigious Global Evolutionary Woman of the Year award. To summarise the key points, consistency and persistency, put yourself first, focus on three things you really love, do one new thing a month, and don't forget to keep a joy list to savour the small delights in life. If you've enjoyed the Pearls of Wisdom shared today, please share your experience by writing a review, as they're always appreciated. And if you have any ideas for a subject or guest you'd like me to consider in the future, just email me on info@philippaross.com. And don't forget to share the episode. Fingers crossed, Jane Goodall says yes to my interview request. So until next month, have fun, dig deep, open your mind to a world of possibilities, live life with a generous heart, and take steps to minimize waste and maximize your own potential.